From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 28th day of September 2012. A stunner from USDA in its grain stocks report released at 7:30 this morning. We'll talk about that and so much more today with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. We'll hear the conversation I had with Daryl Good about 11 o'clock today discussing those numbers from USDA NAS. And we'll talk about the cash grain market and the impact there with Bruce Foster. He's at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, and it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago on a Friday afternoon after the United States Department of Agriculture released its quarterly grain stocks report for the end of the marketing year of last year. Futures rallied sharply in Chicago. The nearby December wheat at 902.5 was up 47 cents on its settlement price. July of next year at 867, up 31.25. The hard red in Kansas City a loss today, actually down 12 cents at $8.60. December corn at 756.25, up the 40 cent limit for the day. The March contract at 912.25, up 40 cent limit. It was at 759.5. That's the March corn contract. May futures at 756, 39 higher. And July at 748.75, up 37.75. December of next year at $6.32 in the corn pit, up 23.25. November beans today, $6.02, up 31.25. January at $16.04, up 32.75. And the March at $15.61.75, 37.75 higher. May futures $15.20, up 41.25. And July at $14.97, up 37 cents for the day. Next year's November beans at $13.42.5, up 27 cents. Bean meal futures rallied $14.90 at $4.88, and the bean oil at $52.18, up 7 for the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the nearby October at $122.75, down 37.5. December were off 47.5 cents at $124.70. October feeders at $143.80, $2.42.5 lower. The November contract at $144.35, down $2.97.5, and October lean hogs today at 77.17.5, a nickel lower, but the December was up 15 cents. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading the November contract at $92.08 a barrel, up 23 cents. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $3.34.2. That's up 19.7. The ethanol at $2.35, up 12.7. The difference between the two spread wider today, up 7 cents, to finish at 99.2 cents on the spread between the lead option, and that's good for blending ethanol into the marketplace. Natural gas at $3.31.2. That's up 1.5 cents, and heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.16.9, a penny and 2 cents higher for the day. Gold futures at $1,772.50 an ounce, down $6.60, and the dollar at 79.92, that's up 0.37. The CRB index at 309.32, 1.99 higher. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the National Weather Service in the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We'll see mostly sunny skies, a high near 71 degrees as we make our way through the afternoon. And then for the evening on a Friday night, mostly clear, a low of 46 with a north wind at about 6 miles an hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high of 73. Winds will be calm tomorrow. Saturday night, mostly clear, and a low of 49. Sunday, sunny skies, a high of 70 degrees. Sunday night, mostly clear, and a low of 46. Monday, sunny skies and 72. Monday night, mostly clear and 50. Tuesday, sunny and 75. Tuesday night, clear and 53. And on Wednesday of next week, sunny skies and a high of 79 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly clear, a low of 56. And by the time we get to Thursday, should see sunny skies and a high of 78 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour when we'll talk with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. Of course, it is a Friday afternoon. On the phone line with us is Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. I bet, Mike, like everybody else who's in your business, you were really busy today.
You know, it's thanks to the government that we have jobs. That's all you can say.
Well, I know for me personally, it actually is true that thanks to the government, I do have a job. I get my check once a month from them, one way or the other.
If you believe in efficient markets, you really do have to wonder about today.
Well, here's the thing about today. USDA says that our corn stocks number, and this is the reason it rallied, was 988 million left in the bank, so to speak, at the end of the year. And that's just a couple of weeks after WASDE told us there was probably 1.181 billion. And the average trade guess was 1.13, so down pretty sharply from those. And the marketplace rallied.
Well, and you look, if you go back to August, if you look at this past month's WASDE number and then you look at the August column, we've essentially lost 353 million bushels of old crop corn since the August report came out. And I think that's the biggest issue where what I would dub it as an agency methodology, not dysfunction but disparity, where each agency is in a different methodology and accounts for actual statistics in terms of NAS and actual survey data that comes from NAS, whereas the NAS people themselves and communications with Joe Persaki today, as he said, the WASDE people, the WAOB, are in the business of forecasting. But there's this large disparity between the agencies and their methodology, and that's what, like you say, has caused this massive swing. And essentially, if you don't change any of the other supply-demand numbers, you're moving from a 733 carryover down to a 540. So in my view, that puts us in a position between now and the October report from World Agricultural Outlook Board that you're going to price in that 540 million bushel carryover. And I would say, again, in the first half of October is probably your best likelihood to be able to price that bullish number into the futures market.
What was left above the market in the December and March today? Anything?
I'm sorry?
What was left above the market?
As far as the pool, yeah. I had not heard what the pool was in the December, but I would suspect it was very large given that we were lock limit up for, you know, well over 2 hours. And we did see a little bit of a pullback in the beans and a little bit of light profit taking in the wheat, where both of them, November beans back below $16, D's wheat back below $9. But in the case of the December wheat, haven't seen the actual physical settlement yet, but it looks like we're going to stay above the 50-day moving average. So here again, today's report, actually the most bullish when you look at just the flat-out numbers, the most bullish for the wheat, because the actual stocks report number came in less than any of the trade guesses. And so wheat is in this position once again of being extremely supportive to the corn market as a whole. And it really puts the end user in a real tight spot now, because both wheat and corn are showing more of a friendly bias in a tighter cash market as we see the Southern Plains continue to worsen with their drought, based upon NOAA's update this past week on their drought monitor.
Yeah, wheat stocks at 2.1 billion. How does that play into the global marketplace? The Northern Hemisphere, of course, creates and produces most of the winter wheat or wheat that's used in the world. And we hear about Argentina and Australia a lot, but by comparison, those two countries don't really produce nearly as much as the Northern Hemisphere.
No, it's really their exportable supplies that impact us more. You're absolutely right. I think last month when we got the world wheat number, I was thinking we'd be closer to a 170 million metric ton ending stocks number. USDA barely nudged their ending stocks number from 177 to 167, 177 to 176.7. They just barely nudged their wheat ending stocks number globally. So I think that's one of these numbers on the October report that needs to be readjusted down as far as the wheat numbers go globally, because we do have issues in Canada. We do have issues in Australia, France, the Black Sea, and now here in the United States, because that number that USDA gave us today is 2% lower than a year ago.
On the stocks numbers, the other stock number, of course, that came out was from the soybeans, and while USDA lost a few hundred million in the corn at 988, they gained about 39 million in the ending stocks for soybeans. And I thought it was quite interesting that in the presentation made to the Secretary of Agriculture, they included the WASDE figures in one of their panels to show how they had reconfigured last year's harvest.
Yeah, and that was all 2011 production increases, and you're absolutely right. Now, I think superficially that was the most bearish report number because of how it went outside the trade guess, but I think as we looked deeper, we being the private trade, looked deeper in the numbers, that's still actually down over 20% from last year, so we are still extremely tight. And I think also that the numbers by themselves, now that they've been released, probably brought back to the market the potential for the weather to once again be a driving force. And I'm getting mixed reports from Chicago, but the private consultants I work with right now continue to suggest that we're not even out of the woods yet when it comes to Brazil and getting enough rain. They're probably okay in some areas to get their planting going and underway and get the beans up, but they still are very, very deficit and are looking for a lot of rainfall as we get into a big rainfall month of October. So that rain better come, I think, or the trade will be back under a weather market, I think, by year's end or just after year's end.
Okay, and then we had another big report, really, relatively speaking, out just a few minutes ago. The quarterly hogs and pigs numbers were out. What a show.
Not a lot of changes from the average estimates. All hogs and pigs, SEP 1, 100%, kept for breeding, 100%, and kept for marketing, 100%. A little bit big on the kept for breeding, in my opinion. I was thinking we were going to be a little bit lower, closer to 98.5, down towards the lower end of the range estimates. Markings were just a touch lighter than what the trade was looking for. Just under 101 was what the trade was looking for. So we've got a bigger breeding herd number than I thought we would probably have. Me personally, the CME index, cash index, is about $3 discount to the October futures right now. I think we really got to watch and see with this corn rally if the hogs can really maintain their gains made this week. And if they break below that 73 and a quarter level in December futures, which is the 40-day moving average, that's pretty key support to me, Todd. If we lose that on a closing basis, I think rehedging those fall and winter hogs until at least we get to the Christmas season is probably a good idea.
Thanks so much for taking the time.
You betcha. Have a great weekend.
You too. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon.
Support for WILL Agricultural Reports comes from Country Financial. Information on federal crop insurance programs for next year is available now from your Country Financial representative or crop specialist. Country Financial is an equal opportunity provider.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. Daryl Good, ag economist from the U of I, is with us to take a look at this morning's grain stocks report. Some surprises in the numbers, Daryl, but as you go through them, you're not sure that they really mean all that much, in particular the corn number, which was far lower than most had expected.
Yeah, we do have a dilemma in terms of how to interpret that number. Todd, 988 million bushels of old crop corn on hand September 1, about 140 million less than the USDA had forecast. Here's the dilemma this year. We had so much new crop corn harvested before September 1, probably over a billion bushels, maybe 1.2 billion. Normal is maybe 200 to 300 million bushels, and we've had as much as maybe 700. So we had a lot of new crop corn available in the old crop marketing year, and what the stocks report doesn't tell us is how much of that new crop was consumed during the last quarter of the old crop marketing year. So old crop stocks smaller than expected, but it doesn't really tell us what feed consumption really was during the quarter. We know what disappeared for old crop, but we don't know what disappeared for new crop. That anything that was used new crop during August will show up as consumption during the first quarter of next marketing year, and that will be revealed in the December 1 stocks report. So I'm not sure really how anybody formed any kind of expectation about what the September 1 stocks of old crop corn would be. So now that we have the number, does it say that we just didn't use as much new crop as we thought we did during August, and it's still out there in inventory? Or does it say feed demand was much more robust than we thought, and we used not only the new crop, but we used more old crop than we thought during the quarter? We don't know the answer to that. You get, I think, additional confusion because the apparent feed and residual use of wheat during the summer quarter was huge, about 435 million bushels, when typically we do, you know, 250 million bushels. So one interpretation is that we just fed a lot of grain during the summer, a lot more than anybody expected. The other interpretation is we just didn't use as much of the new crop as people thought we would.
And we'll know something about that, I suppose, in the December 1 grain stocks report. But that could show a really big disappearance number for the first quarter of the year. And I suppose you have to be careful of that number because it would not be correct either. It would show actually the first quarter of the year and the last quarter of the previous year.
I mean, we always get some underestimate of the fourth quarter and some overestimate of the first quarter because of the new crop harvest. The difference this year is just the magnitude. When you're talking 1.2 billion versus 200 to 300 million normal, that could shift between marketing years. Then that opens the door for additional surprises with the December stocks report. It hopefully will show a high level of feed consumption during the first quarter. If it doesn't, then it speaks to very weak feed demand for corn.
The market's initial reaction on the trade was to move sharply higher, up 25, 28, 30 cents, something along those lines. Can that be sustained? Is there really enough information in there to have three dimes of move?
Well, you know, I kind of look at it this way. We've had prices drop almost a dollar and a half in front of the report, and I think this is more a sigh of relief than anything else. I mean, the stocks number could have just as easily come in much larger than expected and would still contain the same amount of uncertainty that the smaller number contained. So I think it's just a sigh of relief that, okay, stocks are not as big or even bigger than we expected. We've had a real solid sell-off in corn prices. This is an opportunity probably to stop the bleeding a little bit and put some price strength back in the market. And we got 2 weeks or less now. We'll wait on the October new production forecast to see how that changes the supply side of the balance sheet for the new crop year.
Speaking of bleeding, soybeans have been leading the way on the bleed the last couple of weeks. And USDA showed a bigger number at the end of the year than many had really expected, up at almost 40 million bushels.
Right. The stock's 169 million, projected 130. And that forced the USDA to back up and change the estimated size of last year's soybean harvest, raising it an equivalent amount. So it doesn't. We kind of knew what the consumption numbers were. Those didn't change, but the larger than expected inventories forced a revision in the size of last year's crop. The market has also been expecting that the October production forecast would come in larger than what we're looking at right now. A lot of reports of better than expected soybean yields, and the market has been trading, I think, expectations that that number would get better. Some improved weather in South America, concerns about the Chinese economy have all kind of weighed on the soybean market. But interestingly, we just continue to see huge export sales of soybeans, particularly to China. Every day this week, almost, we've seen a new announcement of another large new sale of soybeans to China. So the demand side of the market for right now seems to be holding up very well. But there is the fear that production is bigger than expected.
You have, up until this point, been of a mind that soybeans really were going to be really tight, that demand from the world, China in particular, the front load of soybean exports, something along the lines of 74% by mid-September in export sales, was really going to keep the price of soybeans significantly higher than it would be otherwise. Have you changed your mind at all today?
Well, I mean, obviously the prices have not held up from the highs we saw early September. This whole scenario of bigger than expected production has really weighed on the market. We'll see whether that's verified or not in October. But this stocks report then adds some additional bearish fodder to the argument. When you find 40 million bushels, that's basically adding a half a bushel to the yield for next year already. And if the actual yield is up a bushel or two from the September forecast, then we do have more abundant supplies. But the balance sheet is still pretty tight. I mean, we clearly will have to consume fewer soybeans this marketing year than we consumed last year. And that's going to have to happen mostly in the last half of the marketing year and would be expedited if South America does have a big harvest. And a lot of talk already beginning that we may see some substantial imports of soybeans or soybean products into the U.S. next summer as we run out of supplies and Brazil, Argentina have perhaps a record large crop.
Given your stance on both the corn and the soybeans and their tight supplies, you've also been an advocate of simply making the sales out of the field. Is that still in play?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, prices are still high by historic standards, even though we have come well off the highs. And if you continue to look at prospects for a good crop in South America, then there's really very little reason to be real bullish last half of the marketing year. So the price structure, the price level, the impending large crop in South America all suggest moving the crop pretty early this year.
NASS also dealt with wheat in its Friday morning report.
It did. Stocks came in at about 2.1 billion bushels, so quite a bit smaller than the average trade guess. And again, it suggests that in that feed and residual category that we did see big disappearance during the summer quarter. It's something we expected to see last year when corn prices got high relative to wheat, but it really never did show up in the numbers. And I think people were reluctant to think maybe it would show up this year, but it did. And so we're caught a little short on wheat. We're a little concerned about some dry areas in the hard red winter wheat areas. And all this talk about perhaps Russia restricting exports of wheat, I think fundamentally put wheat in a pretty good picture relative to corn and soybeans right now.
Do you suppose, in your mind, that the feeding of wheat and corn actually was at a much faster pace? Do you see that in the numbers for cattle, for hogs, for poultry?
I really do. I think, you know, the liquidation that we saw during the summer months came late and was primarily breeding herd that we were liquidating. We'll see the hogs and pigs report as of September 1 what the hog breeding herd really was. But all the liquidation, I think, was breeding herd, which means that we were still feeding a lot of animals. Cattle on feed numbers all summer were larger than a year ago. Dairy cow numbers larger, hog numbers larger. In the whole poultry sector, eggs and broilers, we were seeing numbers about equal to a year ago. So feed use was, I think, very large during the summer. It appears that quite a bit of that was met with wheat, but in total, we should have fed a lot of grain this summer.
Darrell, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Doug.
Darrell Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. On the phone line with us now to take a look at the cash grain market is Bruce Bostard. He's at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
It sounded when you picked up the phone as if it was pretty busy there today. Is that the case?
We're having a pretty active day today. We saw another surge of corn here as we saw some of the wetter fields that were put aside till later. Well, it's later now, and they're going after them, starting to see a few soybeans get cut also.
You know, they're going after them, but are they dry? Or are they still pretty wet?
No, I was just out at the looking at samples a little bit ago and at Paxton, and they were still running 19-20%.
It's just taking the crop a long time to dry down because the plant's not, drought has other impacts.
This is the stuff that wasn't dry earlier. We've probably actually picked up a point or two on moisture from where we were a few days ago. So this is stuff that the stalks maybe died instead of maturing, and it's just been slowly evaporating out and finally got down to that 20% range. It was probably 25, 26, a week or 10 days ago.
Mm-hmm. And then is it in very good condition, or are you seeing aflatoxin?
Oh, we're testing for aflatoxin. It's an issue. It's spotty. It's not that we're seeing high levels, but just enough to keep you nervous and make life a little too interesting. It's some of it is not real pretty, and it just doesn't seem to act right. It doesn't flow well. It's not a pretty corn crop.
I didn't think it would be your bids for the day.
We are at $7.65 on nearby corn and $15.91 on soybeans.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Now, Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey and the Prairie Research Institute takes time with us this afternoon for Friday to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Jim. He should be there. Let's see.
You are there
with me. You were doing something else. I thought it was me.
Yeah, I had the mute button on there.
That's okay. Thank you so much for taking the time. Tell me about the weather forecast for the weekend. We had some rain early in the week, at least in our part of the world. What do we see in the coming week?
You know, this week is going to be a nice week for field work in that we've got mild temperatures throughout the weekend and on into next week, highs during the day in the low 70s with lots of sunshine. Clear skies at night, so it'll be rather cool at night, but not frosty, at least like last week was. But we will see lows in the upper 40s across much of central Illinois. So next chance of rain is probably going to be next Friday or Saturday, at the way things look.
Since we last talked to you, we turned from summer to autumn. Did things go well?
Yes, they did. You know, for September so far, we're almost done with it here. And for us in the central part of the state, we got pretty good shape in terms of rainfall, mostly thanks to the remains of Hurricane Isaac that dropped several inches on us here. And so, for example, here in Champaign-Urbana, we are at 5.7 inches for the month. And that's almost double what we normally get in September. So very wet month. That's great news for soil moisture. And that's true pretty much for the southern two-thirds of the state. Pretty much everything south of Interstate 80 has had above normal precipitation for the month of September.
Expectations for next week?
You know, next week it's going to be, we get into the week there, it's be near normal in the temperature, you know, highs in the 70s and lows in the 40s there across much of the state. And I think so it'll be pretty mild. And like I said, our next chance of any significant rain will probably be next Friday or Saturday. So great week to enjoy.
And for those folks who are making their way to the football game tomorrow, what can they expect?
Yes, well, you know, tomorrow it should be a great football weather because the high is supposed to be 73 and light winds out of the northwest. So that won't be too much of a factor for the game, but it should be a great day for football.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. He serves as the state climatologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Well, if you haven't visited us online at willag.org, that's WILLAG.ORG, I sure hope you do. You'll find at the top of the page the interview we did with Daryl Good during the Closing Market Report. And then, of course, Commodity Week, which we'll record at 4:30 this afternoon. You kind of have to roll about halfway down the page, and then you'll see a list. The USDA numbers are there, and Commodity Week is there. Our guest, by the way, this week will be Roy Huckabee, that is, of the Lynn Group out of Chicago, Illinois. We'll record at 4:30 and post by about 6 o'clock this evening. You have a safe harvest afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for WILL Agricultural Reports comes from Country Financial. Information on federal crop insurance programs for next year is available now from your Country Financial representative or crop specialist. Country Financial is an equal opportunity provider.